700 years before the Holy Ghost was poured out on the day of Pentecost, the prophet Isaiah penned these words under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. Verse number 9, who shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little, for with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. For with stammering lips, and that word stammering in the Hebrew is foreign language, will he speak to his people. And then, of course, if you'll turn to Acts, the second chapter. Verse number 1, the fulfillment of that scripture, it says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all of the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Lord, we ask your anointing and blessing upon your word. It's powerful. It changes people. It has the power to do the miraculous if we embrace it. Help us now, God, to do just that. We'll give you the praise. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. There are some churches that I couldn't even read these scriptures. They wouldn't accept this. It seems like you have to have the experience before sometimes you can even have the word applied to your life. Some will never believe until they experience. Pentecostals, I mean apostolic Pentecostals, have the ability and the privilege of communicating with God like no other people. We have a sensitivity and an open line to God like no other Christians have. It is a private communication with God. No one can eavesdrop on our conversation with God. According to the Bible, in 1 Corinthians 14 and 2, it says, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God, for no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. So there are some who have told us that, well, that doesn't happen anymore. That's a phenomena that happened only on the day of Pentecost or for the apostles. And of course, the reason they did that was because they needed to speak to a number of different people at Pentecost from different parts of the country who spoke different languages. And so that was a necessity. But no longer is that true. Well, this scripture countermands that because it says, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto man, but unto God. So when we're speaking, and this is a great subject, folks, we have such a privilege, we have such a communication with God, and I think sometimes we as Pentecostals don't take advantage of the direct line that we have with God, you know? It's like there must be a direct line in the White House that nobody answers except the president because of issues. And I believe there's a red phone in heaven someplace. Whenever a saint calls, God has to answer that one, you know? Hallelujah. Colossians 1 and 26 says, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. Glory to God. Now, we need to know that there is a strategy in God in allowing us to speak in tongues. Why? Why did he pick tongues? The enemy of our soul knows that praying in tongues is so powerful, he will do everything in order to discount praying in tongues. And sometimes we just don't understand the value that we have in praying in tongues. He wants in on the conversation with God, but God says, no, it's not for you. You can't listen in. You can't understand. We are in spiritual warfare all through our lives, whether we understand it or not, and the enemy makes constant strategic moves against our spirit when we pray in the natural because it's all exposed. God, I need this. God, I need that. Well, somebody's listening, but thank God for secret communication, and that's really what we have. A personal communication with God. Sometimes our inability to understand what God is doing in our situation can cause us to be off target in our prayers. God, take this thing from me. And God's saying, no, no, this is all for your benefit. Don't pray that way. But in the spirit, I'm always praying the right way. But praying in the heavenly language allows God to make intercession through us. In the spirit, we pray for things that we're not even aware of. And I know this is obvious to a lot of us that have been around, but I'll tell you what, this thing becomes just too mundane for us. We don't understand the value many times. Acts 2 and 3 said this, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as fire, and it sat upon each of them. The Greek word for cloven here means to bestow a gift that would partition or act in a process of dividing. So this experience that they had on Pentecost was a way of dividing people from every other people. And the word tongue in the Greek means a language not naturally acquired. The word fire in the Greek means a power from above as lightning or a gift from heaven. So tongues are a language that we didn't learn but came on us as suddenly as lightning, which is a gift from heaven, which endues us with power, is what it's saying. And the tongue will partition us from the rest of society and even the rest of the denominational world as God sets us apart for his people. Cloven tongue, separating, dividing from everybody else in the world. One of the greatest aspects of church is just speaking in tongues. It separates us from others that claim to be the church when God has identified us by a special language. Amen. You know, you can go in another country and identify who people are based on what you're hearing. The same is true for the church. Amen. We're a bunch of tongue talkers. We are. And thank God we are. Thank God for that secret communication that we have with God. Hallelujah. It identifies us when we receive the Holy Ghost so that there is no doubt in our mind. And God wants a daily evidence of that experience in our life. A daily evidence. Now, if you got the Holy Ghost years ago and that was the only experience you have, you're living way below your privilege. I believe that God wants that evidence and that experience happening to you every day. I've said so many times, it's easier for me to speak in tongues than it is in English because I don't have to think about anything. I just open my mouth. Now, that wasn't always the case, but there was a language that develops. When that baby is brought home from the hospital, it's just making a lot of noise. But it will develop a language based on who it is around. You know? Well, that kid is brilliant. He speaks perfect Spanish. Well, why? Because he's around people who were speaking Spanish. Glory to God. Not like he learned a foreign language by, Rosetta Stone tapes. But whoever you're around, that's what you pick up on. And us Pentecostals should produce more people who speak in other languages that are naturally acquired. Hallelujah. And what that does is it builds us up in the Spirit. We know if I'm speaking in another language, God is very close to me and he has approved me. Hallelujah. The word tongue is found 34 times in the Bible, 9 times in the Old Testament, and 25 times in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew word for tongues is an instrument for licking or eating or speaking or a fork of flame or a cavern of water. And I was thinking today of Gideon and how, he came against the Midianites, and eventually all he had was 300 men. And the reason he had only 300 men instead of 10,000 men is because of their tongue in the water. Glory to God. It separated the real soldiers, the real people who were going to get the victory, from those who just... Yeah, I'm one of you. In the New Testament, tongues are a sign of receiving the Holy Ghost. We all know that. The Holy Ghost enables us to heal the wounds of others by licking, if you will, or speaking, consume the word or eating, and above all, to witness. Glory to God. Would you turn to 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter? If you're not still excited about this, please see me after service, because there's something wrong. Glory to God. Amen. 1 Corinthians 14, verse number 21, it says, "In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord." Now He's really quoting Isaiah 28. "Wherefore, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. If therefore the whole church be come together into one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that ye are mad? But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all, and thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth." So what God is saying here is tongues are for a sign of the unbeliever, but not for the believer. Prophesying is, if we get together and there are no unbelievers, there's really no necessity for bringing in a message in tongues, you see. And God certainly knows who's in the building. I've been in ministerial meetings where someone brought in a message in tongues and interpretation, but they obviously had not been taught properly, because there's no need for tongues. It's a sign for the unbeliever. But prophesying or speaking in the natural language is for those who believe. And it goes on to say that it is the gift of the Spirit, and it is not the evidence of receiving the Holy Ghost. So there are some who will say, well, do all speak in tongues? If you'll go down to verse 33, it says, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as all churches of the saints. Let your women keep silent in the church, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for a woman to speak in the church. And then verse 36, it says, what? You see, Paul is being facetious here. There are some who want to limit genders from being active in the church, and God obviously uses women as much as he does men. And he says, what? Came the word of God out from you, and came it unto you only? If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues. Let all things be done decently and in order. So we're talking about the gifts of the Spirit here, and we could go back to the 12th chapter and look at verse number 28. It says that God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, government, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? The answer is no. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. All workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gift, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. So what he's saying is not everybody has every gift or ministry within the church, but he's not saying that tongues are not for everybody, because tongues are the evidence of receiving the Holy Ghost, and they're a part of our daily experience with God in order to build us up spiritually. I probably said this before, but I remember getting the Holy Ghost, and I remember going home, locking myself in the bathroom to see if it worked at home, you know. Maybe some of you did the same. And then there was nothing until the next time I got to church, but I'll tell you what, I made a beeline to the altar, and I started worshiping God, and then the tongues came. But as I pursued that, it became automatic in my life. I remember for years coming to early morning prayer, not only speaking in tongues, but singing in tongues. God would give me the melody and he'd give me the words. I mean, it depends on how deep you want to go, but really God wants to have a conversation in this secret language, if you will, on a regular basis. He really does. He wants to touch you like he touched Sister Graff every day, if you'll pursue him. Glory to God. So, let's also look at 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, and look at verse number 1. We read part of it. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied, for greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edification. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you, except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine? So what he's saying is, here's an order in the church, if you will. I'd rather speak in my known language with revelation and knowledge, so you're edified through it rather than me speaking in tongues, which is not to man, but it is to God, but you're not receiving anything, but I am, you see. Verse number 14, it says, "For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Else when thou shalt bless with the spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of an unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? For thou verily giveth thanks well, but the others is not edified. I thank my God, I speak in tongues more than ye all. Yet in the church, I had rather speak five words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue." So what he's saying is, really, it is your language, other than the gifts of the Spirit in tongues and interpretation, it is for your edification, your building up. Glory to God. I was 30 years old before I ever heard anybody speak in tongues, and I remember visiting a Pentecostal church, and someone brought in a message behind me, and I was just shocked. But I was also fascinated by what had happened, that someone had spoken in a language that they had never learned. I understood that it was miraculous, something that was tangible and real. If this world needs anything, it's something tangible and real in religion today. They need an experience. They just don't need another book report. In a religious world that says that there is nothing real, no evidence of the Holy Ghost anymore, God just wants you to show up and do nothing, Pentecostals have the evidence in the miracle of tongues, and we experience that miracle every day if you want. Mark 16 and 17 says, "And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. Shall they cast devils, they shall speak with new tongues." In other words, God's saying, if you really want to know who are the real Christians, there are signs that follow, they shall speak in new tongues. A lot of people would like to rip that out of the Bible, but I'm so glad it's there. Tongues in the Greek is glossia, meaning unnaturally acquired in violation to a natural law. It is the supernatural experience that comes from another world to lay testimony of the power of the Holy Ghost. The Apostle Paul wrote much about the subject of speaking with other tongues, and he practiced what he preached because he told them that, "I thank God that I speak in tongues more than you all." I don't know if he did, but he took that posture that I do. Glory to God. So, we need to have that. We need to have it. He said in 1 Corinthians 14 and 19, "Yet in the church I had rather speak five words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue." You'll notice that I rarely speak in tongues from this pulpit because there is really no value to the congregation. Now, I'll speak in tongues when I'm praying for people because I want to be on track with God. I'll speak in tongues when I'm praying to God. But from the pulpit, there really is no necessity. I don't have to convince you that I'm in the Spirit by speaking in the Spirit. You see, the Word stands on its own. Hallelujah. Now, Paul obviously did a tremendous amount of speaking in tongues in his own devotions and worship. And the reason Paul thanked God for speaking in tongues more than you all was because he was able to edify himself or build himself up spiritually by speaking in tongues. Now, I'm telling you that if you're not on a regular basis speaking in tongues, you're not getting the power and the sustenance, if you will, or the strength or building yourself up in order to resist the things that come against you. And God has given us an open door in order to receive that. The word edify there means to build up or to charge yourself, as to building up a home. When we speak in tongues, to pray or worship God, it's like connecting to a battery charger to build up power that God can work through us. 1 Corinthians 14:4 says, "He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth," or builds himself up. This is praying in tongues in a spiritual manner, which in turn will help us physically and mentally, but mostly spiritually. Glory to God. You know, you should be amazed at what comes out of your mouth. Not in the natural, but in the spirit. You should be. Wow. And sometimes I just am. Where did that come from? You know? You know, one day it's Hebrews, the next day it's Chinese, or... You know, and God has a prerogative to open your mouth and allow you to speak in any language, or maybe in the language of angels. That's what the Bible says. It doesn't necessarily have to be a language that's defined in this world. Another spiritual purpose for tongues is that it provides us with a means of communication with God. And I love those secret talks. It's a private line. And he only gives out his number to those who have the connection with his spirit. Paul said, "What is it then? I will pray with the spirit and I will pray with the understanding also. However, our understanding is always limited, but by praying in the spirit, it allows us to pray for situations that we really know nothing about." And there's one of the greatest advantages of speaking in tongues, because I can pray for things that I am not aware of, and I'm confident that God's going to take care of them. Amen. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, it says worship or prayer. And why isn't that in the spirit? You're not having to worry about it because God is answering you in the spirit. Glory to God. But by praying in the Spirit, it allows us to pray for those situations. Glory to God. So let's take a look at, I know these are familiar scriptures to most of you, but Romans, the 8th chapter. Romans chapter 8, verse number 26. Paul saying, "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities or weaknesses, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings," or praying without understanding. That's what groanings mean, "which cannot be uttered." So, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities or our weaknesses. So, I don't know what my weaknesses are sometimes. I don't know if I have certain temptations and I'm going to be susceptible to. I don't know if there's a weakness within my body that needs to be taken care of. I can't pray for those things I don't know about, but in the Spirit, I can pray with understanding in the Spirit for those things that I don't even have a clue that I need. It goes on to say, verse 27, "And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." So we're always praying right on when we're speaking in tongues. There's no wasted words. Amen. We're not asking amiss, but we're in the Spirit. Amen. Glory to God. Another purpose for tongues is when we pray with other tongues, it helps us to be conscious of spiritual things that are going on, and certainly the presence of God. Yes, the speaking in tongues is not only the initial evidence of receiving the Holy Ghost, but is a continual experience for the rest of our lives to help us worship and communicate with God. Amen. Amen. It is a flowing stream that can never dry up. And it is a rest for the body, and it is a rest for the soul. And this is the rest wherewith you shall receive. So I'm tired, I'm exhausted, I'm frustrated, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. There could be a court date, could be a doctor's appointment. Don't reach for Tylenol, don't reach for Excedrin, don't reach for extra strength Advil. Get your hands up in the air and start speaking in another language. For this is the rest and this is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear. Well, it's just easier to grab a bottle. It's just easier to call somebody and complain. It's just easier to get the pastor on his knees. No. Why don't you build yourself up spiritually, physically, emotionally by getting your hands up, or except when you're driving, don't do that. And let God handle the situation. We have that line of communication. We don't have to go through 10 people. We don't have to go through the executive office. We don't have to go through the vice president and you know. Glory to God. Amen. John, the 7th chapter. Verse 37. The last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." What is this river of living water? I'm thinking about water that's refreshing. I'm thinking about water that's flowing. There's just nothing more. You know, more people want to build a house next to water than any other place. You know, they'll pay a premium dollar to get next to a river or next to a brook or next to a lake somehow, because there's something that's calming, something that's refreshing along water. And it says, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture said," like in Acts 2 and 4, Isaiah 28 and 11, "out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Well, what is this? "But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believed on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, but because Jesus was not yet glorified." So what Jesus is saying is, here is the refreshing. It's like rivers of living water, fresh water that's coming, if you'll pray in the Spirit. I feel so strongly about this tonight, and God's been dealing with me for 2 weeks about this message. I really believe that so many of our issues could be taken care of by going directly to God. Just going to God. Hallelujah. I mean, we know that answers are here, but you know what? Sometimes it's just a matter of not writing a letter to God, but just going to God directly in the Spirit, and he takes care of it rather than complaining, rather than sharing your issues with somebody else. Isaiah, the 12th chapter. Some of this had been said on Sunday night. Isaiah 12, verse number 1, "And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee, though thou wast angry with me. Thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw waters out of the wells of salvation. Folks, I really believe every time we just put our hands up in the air and start speaking in tongues, it's like putting our bucket down in the well of living water and drawing up something that is going to refresh us. And in that day shall you say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all of the earth. Glory to God. And then if you go to Jude chapter... You guys are so smart. Jude verse 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. How are you going to do that? Praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ unto eternity. And of some have compassion, making the difference. So how do we build ourselves up in our most holy faith? Praying in the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. Amen. When I first heard about tongues in the Bible, I asked several people I knew in denominational churches, what about this? Have you ever heard of this? Because I had never heard of it. I went to a parochial school for 7 years, heard all of the Bible stories, and never once, not once in all my life, had I ever heard of tongues. And they all said, well, they have really no value today. They didn't understand the working of the Spirit. They didn't have a private line to God, and they didn't have the Holy Ghost. You know, you cannot convince anybody who has ever been filled with the Holy Ghost that tongues are not necessary, because it's too late to have the experience. And God said he's going to pour out his Spirit upon all flesh in the end time. So more and more people are receiving the Holy Ghost every day. There's more people alive with the Holy Ghost today than ever in the history of the entire world. You know, I've been teaching home Bible studies for many, many years, and at least 6 times in those Bible studies, when I got to that lesson talking about how God fills people with the Holy Ghost and the evidence of speaking with other tongues, I've had at least 6 people say, oh, that's what happened to me. I remember praying, and then all of a sudden, these words came out of my mouth, and I thought, what is that? Am I losing my mind? And they vowed they would never tell anybody that that ever happened to them, because they thought they'd be committed, you know? Each and every one of us are committed. Glory to God. At least I think we all are. I wonder if Pentecostals have underestimated the value of tongues. Have we become complacent to the miracle of it all? You know, I remember when I first came into the church, I went from person to person to person to person saying, you know what? Did you ever speak in tongues? Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Because I was so enamored about what happened to me that I just wanted everybody, I'm not like that anymore. But I should be. Hallelujah. When God touches something, it's always for the better. And he took evil things and turned them into good things. And according to the Bible, there isn't anything that's more evil than your tongue. The doctors will tell you that there isn't any part of your body that is more filthy than your tongue. It has more germs, it has more bacteria on it than any other part of your body. Unfortunately, there are are spirit-filled believers that never developed that prayer language. But let's go to James, the third chapter. I believe that God has used the tongue as the evidence of receiving the Holy Ghost, because if he can control your tongue, he can control you. James chapter 3, verse number 2, it says, "For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body." So if you're able to control your tongue, you're able to control your entire body. "Behold, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which, though they be so great, are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among the members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell." It said, tongue is a fire. Isn't that what happened on the day of Pentecost? Verse number 7, "For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea and is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison." So God's saying, you know what? All the beasts, not a problem. The real problem is the tongue of man. And I believe that if we spend more time speaking in tongues, we'll have an easier time controlling the tongue. Like, what do you mean? Criticisms, backbiting, all these things. Sweet water and bitter water can't come out of the same flow. A newborn child takes time to develop a language, and so it is with those born again. It's not just a one-time experience. Ephesians 6 and 18 says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit." And in Ephesians 6, it talks about the armor of God that we must put on. There are 7 pieces of armor. The first 6 items in the armor of God are things that we put on, but the 7th flows from inside of us to be bold. So let's look at our last scripture, if our musicians would come. Ephesians, the 6th chapter. Starting in verse number 10. "Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Now, God isn't asking us to put on the whole armor of God because we're not going to have any fights. But there's going to be some battles. And so he said, "I've given you the equipment. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Glory to God. I hope you have your Bibles with you. Amen. "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth," number one, "having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all of the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Praying always in the Spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Could it be that because we pray in the Spirit, God gives us a boldness to talk to other people about God? But if we're not praying in the Spirit, we're not building ourselves up physically, emotionally, mentally, and we're also not having the boldness in order to reach others that are around us. I thank God that I speak in tongues. I thank God it's almost my first language rather than the second. And I thank God for that communication, that open channel to God that nobody else knows about. I've been in a lot of different countries where they spoke a lot of different languages. And if I've spent any time at all, I'm around people who are speaking a language that I don't understand. And sometimes I almost feel a little paranoid, like they're talking about me and I don't know about it. That's you, devil. You know? Get up, Jesus. Take care of the problem, Lord. Amen. So why wouldn't I? So the bottom line here is I need to step it up. Maybe you need to step it up. Maybe you need to concentrate more on what you can do in the Spirit rather than in the natural. Could have a list this long of all of the things that you're praying for, and maybe God isn't really that interested in that. But 15 minutes praying in the Spirit, you might be able to accomplish something not only in our little world, but maybe in China, in Bangladesh, maybe some dark place in Africa, you know. Because God isn't limited to our little area here, folks. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't understand it all, but in the Spirit, I feel a relief that I've accomplished something and God has used me in a higher level than ever before. And I never want to take for granted this wonderful, miraculous gift that God has given us, this open door. Except a man be born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And sometimes we enter into it with our mouth rather than our feet. Glory to God. Do you love him tonight? Would you stand with me, please? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Folks, when people come to visit a Pentecostal church, they ought to see Pentecostals. My first visit, could you turn this up a little? My first visit, I guess I was a little shocked because there was some lady bringing in a message in tongues right behind me. But I didn't run out the door. I thought, this is something that I've never experienced before. I don't want to get to the place where we ever shut anything down because we want to cater to the visitors. First of all, church isn't for visitors. Church is for God. So Sunday morning, let's just take it easy here. And, you know, Sunday night we can have a No. Glory to God. They should see us at our finest on Sunday morning in the Spirit, folks.
Paul said, "Hey, King, this thing wasn't done in a quarter. You know what we're all about. You know what you need. Glory to God." And the fact of the matter is, they are so bored out of their minds with church. They're looking for something that's exciting, something that's a little more radical. Amen. They are. So keep on talking. The one who can make the difference. Amen. You might want to use that tonight. This altar is open.